Coffee with Kenobi presents Resistance Reactions. All pilots to your stations. You ready?
Let's do this.
Kasuda, good luck on tomorrow's big race.
I don't need luck. Here we go.
You can't handle the hype. Line them up.
Follow my signals.
Get ready to be impressed.
When it comes to your mission at the spot, I don't want anything to do with it.
The First Order is clearly making weapons.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
I want the station completely destroyed.
It's been too long since we've seen some action.
You showing up always means trouble.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Motters.
Oh, this is exciting. I appear to be tingling all over.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Resistance Reactions. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Harris, and joining me, as always, is the incomparable David Motters. David, how you doing?
Good. Incomparable. You're coming up with better and better adjectives. I love it. I'm feeling like a strong Star Wars fan when you say that. And as always, I am ready to fly.
All right. Well, definitely, this is going to be a great day, my friend. We got a lot to cover. We got so much to do. We're going to talk about the first episode of 2019, Bibo. I always mispronounce it. Bibo, which here shortly. How was your holidays, my man, friend?
It was good. I was thinking about Star Wars stuff. I didn't really get much Star Wars stuff, but it was just a fun break. I did definitely need it. Took time off. In fact, I know I was talking to you during the break, and I finished Alliances, Thrawn Alliances. It was a goal of mine to get that thing done, and did. And then on Christmas Day, we went down and saw Aquaman and had fun with that. And New Year's Day was good, and then just been back to work here for the last couple weeks. So how did you do?
No, I did. It was a good break. Good holidays. Didn't get much Star Wars stuff either. The only thing I got Star Wars wise was my oldest daughter had gone to Disney on a field trip, and she came back. Apparently, when she was there, she bought me a Christmas gift. So I got one of the Last Jedi Vinylmations. Which, if you don't know what the Vinylmations are, they're little statues or little figures, and they all have Mickey ears. No matter what it is, it's got a Mickey ear. This one that I got, they're mystery packs. So the one I got, I opened it up, and it's Rey from The Last Jedi. Lightsaber. Nice. The Mickey ears are painted up to look like Act 2. At the island? Act 2.
Oh, yeah,
Octo, that's it.
Yeah.
So, the ears are painted up to look like Octo, so really cool, really nice. I got it sitting here on the desk here at the Resistance Reaction Studio. But other than that, it was just a nice holiday. Had a lot going on family-wise with some medical things, but everybody's doing good now, and we're moving right along, so...
Well, good deal, buddy. You finished Bloodline, though, didn't you, too?
I did. I actually finished two books over the break, believe it or not. I actually read Thrawn Alliances, and I read Bloodline. I ordered it, got a paperback copy in, and read it. Great books, man. I tell you, I don't know why I didn't read Bloodline sooner. You know, I was, you know... When I read it, and I even told my wife the first couple chapters in, after the first like three or four chapters, I was like, a lot of political stuff going on and this and that. I'm like, I'm not going to make it through this. I was worried for a little bit, but man, it picked up. It was a phenomenal story starring Leia. Great story, great characters, great writing. Lot of fun, lot of adventure. It was great. I thoroughly enjoyed Bloodline. It was great. I loved Thrawn Alliances too, man. I tell you, I've heard some negative things about Thrawn Alliances with it. It's confusing going back and forth between Thrawn and Anakin, or Anakin and or Thrawn and Vader, and the time jumps through it. But I never lost track of it. I kept track of it. It was it, to me, it was just a fun read. I thoroughly enjoyed that book. I can't wait for Thrawn Treason to come out later this year. So,
oh yeah. Well, I think I was, you know, because you and I were talking, and I know on a previous podcast I told you that I was getting through Bloodline, and you're like, I'm going to do it. I got to get it. And I remember you texted me, and you'd finished Alliances. And I'm like, oh man, and I had like a chapter or two left. So I quickly finished it up. And then like a day or two later, I felt like you were texting me, and you're like, oh, I finished Bloodline. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Wow, you crushed it, man.
Yeah, that's the most I've read in a long time, and I really enjoyed it. So now I got I enjoyed Bloodline so much. I've gone back to some of these older books I haven't read. I got Lost Star sitting here. I'm going to be starting here shortly, and right behind it, I got Rebel Rising. So hopefully, we'll make it through those before Thrawn Treason comes out in April. So,
oh, definitely.
So looking forward to that. We got a ton of news we need to get through. So let's pull this up and see what we got going on in the world of Star Wars Resistance and news. Probably the biggest news that came out over the break while we were gone, the mid-season break, was that Star Wars Resistance has been renewed for season 2, and we got an incredible, I'm going to say it again, an incredible mid-season trailer.
Oh boy.
You talk about getting the blood pumping. I can honestly sit here and tell you, I have watched that mid-season trailer more than I watched any of the trailers for The Last Jedi, any of the trailers for Rogue One, for Solo, for Force Awakens. I've probably watched that mid-season trailer more than all of them combined. It is that there's so much crammed in there. There's so much to dissect. It's incredible. What did you think of that, the renewal news as well as the mid-season trailer?
Oh, obviously pumped. And you know, after, you know, that mid-season trailer came out, you know, I was looking at, you know, some of the commentary, and it was really nice to see, you know, some of the stuff by Joanna Marie Macias, who's a big Star Wars fan, has covered Rebels a ton. She's at the Wookiee Gunner, and she obviously covers Resistance as well, and her excitement for it. And I know you and I have talked about it. I did a post on Twitter about, it was actually a retweet of an article on Cinema Blend that the Coffee with Kenobi main Twitter feed posted, and I saw it, and it was about how Resistance isn't just for kids. And so I'm like, oh wait, click on that, and I wanted to read it, and I read the whole thing, and then I retweeted it, and I put a statement that I really would love for everyone to read that article, because the person who wrote it did such a nice job of explaining how, you know, their stuff is for kids. There is some other stuff that's going to be, you know, more serious as the show progresses. Maybe it won't get as dark and serious as Rebels or Clone Wars, but they're going to still, you know, make the effort. And some of the quotes by Justin Ridge really conveys that. He's the showrunner, obviously the supervising director, like Filoni was on Clone Wars and Rebels. And so, you know, I just think we've got a lot to look forward to, not just this season, but next season, and just, you know, where they can run this up to. So I just was like, you know, I felt, I guess, a sense of vindication. You know, you and I have consistently said to give this show time. And that's what I saw a lot of Star Wars other fans saying, you know, give something time to grow. And I think we're going to see it here. So, just like you, just flabbergasted when I saw it, you know, watch it again tonight, and probably watch it some more. But the person who puts those trailers together is incredible. What is that? I think that it's at Trailer Dude or something like that.
Yeah,
I think
on Twitter, Trailer Dude.
Yeah.
So, phenomenal job putting that trailer together.
is incredible. So it makes me feel so good, and I even said to you, I just feel so much happier, just so much more privileged that you and I get to cover this show, and the place that it's going to fit into Star Wars lore, and that's why I was encouraging you to read Bloodline, and that's why I wanted to read it. You and your influence has been getting me into the comics, so I started reading Poe Dameron and seeing where that is, before The Force Awakens, and so it's all coming together, the comics, this show, Bloodline, the novels. So I'm ecstatic, dude, and I, you know, like you said, I'm not paid to say any of this, but I am having fun, a lot of fun as a Star Wars fan in what is probably going to be the year of Star Wars, right? 2019 here.
Oh, definitely going to be the year of Star Wars. There's so much happening in 2019, it's not even funny. The amount of Star Wars coming out in 2019, it is ridiculously crazy. Matter of fact, the most recent episode of the main show, Coffee with Kenobi, covers what Star Wars coming out in 2019. What to look forward to. So definitely check that out there at coffeewithkenobi.com. So a lot of great things there. One of the things you can look forward to this in 2019 is Star Wars Celebration. Star Wars Celebration is coming up, and they made some announcements concerning Celebration. The big announcement that affects Resistance is that some of our voice cast will be there. Christopher Sean, voice of Kaz, Susie McGrath, the voice of Tam, and Scott Lawrence, the voice of Yeager, have all confirmed they're going to be at Star Wars Celebration. So if you are one of the few of the lucky ones getting to go, make sure you save your money and go meet these Stars of Resistance. Let them know how much they are loved and appreciated and how much we love this show.
That's right. That's right. I don't know. This is one, Aaron, where I'm completely ecstatic for the fans because they'll be able to do it. I'm excited for those voice actors because just like with the persons who did Rebels, they just couldn't believe that, you know, it was just overwhelming. Remember, I think Vanessa Marshall when she came to Star Wars Weekends. I'm blocking on who did the voice of Ezra Bridger. I can see his face right now.
Taylor Gray.
Oh, Taylor Gray, when he came for the first time, just overwhelmed with Star Wars fans, and I love that. And I think Christopher Sean's going to see that, Susie McGrath, Scott Lawrence, and all them. Plus, James Arnold Taylor's going to be there, just so people know.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited for people, and I'm just crying here because I can't get there and see them and get their autographs.
I know, unfortunately. Oh. I know you and I, fortunately, are not able to make Celebration this year. It's heartbreaking, but, you know, unfortunately, it just happens. Unfortunately, it does work out that way. So if you're going, definitely enjoy it. Send us pics of if you get to go to the Resistance panel, which I'm sure there will be one. Let us know how it goes. Send us pictures. If you get to see any of the people we mentioned, Christopher Sean, Susie McGrath, Scott Lawrence, send us pictures, man. We'll share them around, and we'd love to see what you got going on there at Celebration Chicago 2019.
I'm glad you said that. I want to encourage anybody who listens to this, if they go, just send it to us, make us feel like we're there, and keep us in the loop. And you know, I'm excited for anybody who gets to go. You know, I've been able to go. You and I've been able to go to Celebrations, and it's an exciting thing. I'm excited for people. But if they can just send us some stuff, it'll make us feel like we're part of it.
Absolutely, it certainly will. So a lot of fun there. We can't make it to Celebration, but David and I both are going to be at the first ever Central Florida Comic-Con here in Lakeland, Florida, in my hometown. It's actually coming up. We're recording this. This episode's actually being recorded Tuesday, January 15th. It's actually this coming weekend, the 19th and the 20th. So we'll be getting together and hanging out there throughout the weekend. If you're in the Central Florida area, come check it out at the RP Funding Center here in Lakeland. It's going to be fun. It's the first time this show's ever happened. So it'll be a lot of fun. There is a Star Wars connection there besides the 501st being there. Oh my gosh, I just blanked on his name. Phil Lamar. Oh, yeah. Phil Lamar is going to be there. Of course, Phil Lamar is famous for all his comedy work, voice acting, and shows like Futurama, where he played Hermes Connor. He was, of course, in Star Wars The Clone Wars, where he voiced Jedi Master Kit Fisto. I went into Obi-Wan for that. I don't know why. But Kit Fisto, and of course, he also was Bail Organa in The Clone Wars and in Star Wars Rebels. So we got a Clone Wars and Rebels connection. And just recently, in episode Secrets and Holograms, he actually voiced an antique dealer in the marketplace.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So he has been in all three animated episodes. Or series, not episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So he will be there along with several other people. One of the original Power Rangers, Marina Sirtis from Star Trek The Next Generation. There's my Star Trek reference for the show. She'll be there along with some comic book artists and stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're in the Central Florida area, you want to check it out, come hang out with us. We'll be there. We're going to be having fun roaming the floors, going to what panels they have, and trying to make this first annual Comic-Con here in Lakeland a success. So
yeah, hey, look for me. I know Aaron, I'm gonna have my green Coffee with Kenobi shirt on. It sticks out quite a bit. I know our orange and green Coffee with Kenobi shirts do, so yeah, definitely look for us and say hi, and you and I are going to have a blast, buddy.
Oh, we certainly will. We will be having a blast. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, this episode we're recording January 15th, which is a Tuesday. And this morning, the Star Wars Resistance action figures went on sale.
Oh, my.
They went on sale. Of course, there are six individual action figures that have been released, and there's two packs. The two packs, one is Yeager and Bucket, the other one is Poe and BB-8. Then the individual figures are Kaz, Tora Doza, Sonara San, Stormtrooper, Major Von Reg, and Commander Pyre.
Nice.
And I found them all.
Where?
Walmart.
Oh. I gotta go. Oh my god, I didn't even know this, man.
I found them all. Got them all right here. I'll actually post some pictures and some, probably do a video and post it on Twitter. like I did, I don't know, back to the mid-season trailer, I actually did a video posted on the Resistance Twitter feed about the trailer, because I couldn't just hold it in anymore. I had to just do something. So on my break from work, I sat there and recorded a video and posted it on the Twitter. So just going over my thoughts on the mid-season trailer, and I could do that again for these really cool figures. So
I love it when you do those spontaneously. That's cool.
Yeah, that was fun to do, and this one I'll have to do. I mean, the figures are pretty cool. You know, they remind me a lot of they're in the same category as some of the recent figures that came out for Solo or Last Jedi. The 5 points of articulation and so on and so forth. What's really cool is Tora Doza came with her helmet. And I was thinking, okay, it's just going to be a plastic helmet I pop on top of her head. No, it's not. You literally pop Tora's head off to put her helmet on. You pop one. Her head is already inside the helmet designed. So you literally take her unhelmeted head off and pop the other one on. It's really weird. It's pretty cool too, but okay, kind of weird. I feel like I'm decapitating her. And Yeager's is the same way, because Yeager's came with his helmet. Poe and Kaz came with helmets too, but theirs actually go on over their head, so okay, is what it is at that point. But great figures, so definitely a few. I've been waiting for these since this show came out, so it's fun to have. Bucket. He's all wobbly and crazy on the show, and he's the same here in real life in this figure, so quite crazy. I love the fact too they actually designed him so his the middle leg actually retracts into his body, and you can pull it back out, so you can either have him standing on the two legs or the one leg or the three legs. So pretty cool.
That is cool, man. Well, it sounds like a run to Walmart's in order here, since there's no more Toys R Us.
Oh, I know. Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So, one more piece of news before we move on. And it's not really news. It's more of a report that I have. In our last episode, when we talked, when we were discussing Station Theta Black, I made the statement that I felt like we had seen Phasma more in Captain Phasma more in Resistance than we had in the movies, and I made the statement. I'm just gonna have to go time it all out and see what it really is. Well, I actually did do that. I didn't have to time out the movies. IMDb actually had a breakdown of on screen time. And when I Googled it, it actually had a breakdown there. So then all I had to do was watch the Resistance episodes she was in and time that out. And the way they timed everything out, it was her, how much time she actually appeared on screen. Okay?
Okay. All right. This is exciting because you haven't told me. I'm going to learn when the listeners learn here. I'm interested here.
So when it comes to screen time for Captain Phasma in The Force Awakens, she was viewed visibly on screen for 1 minute and 45 seconds total.
Oh, mackerel, that's not a lot. Wow.
No, it's not. And these numbers are so low. I actually, the only one I did test was Force Awakens, and yeah, I timed it out, and I was within a few seconds of what they posted, so I was content with that was accurate. Force Awakens, minute 45. The Last Jedi, she was also in it for 1 minute 45 seconds. So her total on air time in those two movies is 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh my gosh, compared to the hype of that, the outfit and the, you know, the uniform, mm-hmm, the chrome, oh my gosh, it's unreal.
I know, it's crazy. For as much time as they hyped this character, she only had, between two movies, 3 minutes and 30 seconds of on-screen time where you visibly could see her.
Wow.
So that brings us to Resistance. So Phasma has appeared in 3 episodes of Star Wars Resistance. She was in The Triple Dark.
Yep.
At the end of Triple Dark, she appeared in The Children from Tehar.
Okay.
And she, of course, their most recent, Station Theta Black.
Yeah, exactly.
So I sat there, watched each episode, timed it out the best I could, which I did tried to do it the best I could. So here's how it panned out. For The Triple Dark, I timed her out at about 25 seconds.
Okay.
For The Children of Tehar, about 1 minute and 20 seconds.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
For Station Theta Black,
yeah,
1 minute 41 seconds.
Okay.
For a grand total of 3 minutes and 26 seconds. She appeared on screen in the movies only 4 seconds longer than 3 episodes of Resistance.
The first half of the first season.
Mm-hmm. Wow. 4 hours of movies, and she was in it for 3 minutes and 30 seconds. 3 22-minute episodes, and she was in it for 3 minutes and 26 seconds.
Wow. Well, what did you and I say? We had hoped that they would flush her out more and show her more, and it gives, you know, that character a chance to kind of be, you know, grow more. Like, I read the novel Phasma, which really gives you backstory and stuff like that. I also read the comic, well, the trade paperback that put it all together, that shows her getting out of the trash compactor on Starkiller Base, and I enjoyed that. But they've got so much more to work with here this year, the remainder of season one and all of season two at least. So it's clearly going to be way more than in the movies.
All right, hold on just a second. What showed her coming out of the trash compactor?
Oh, the Captain Phasma, the short run. You know how they have the main series of the Marvel, mm-hmm. You know, like the main Star Wars line?
Yeah.
They've had the shorter runs of, you know, five, like Han Solo, and they put it together.
Yeah, like a one-off, yeah.
Exactly.
Like a mini-series.
Right, and so that's what that was, the Captain Phasma miniseries, and what that does show is her getting out of the trash compactor that she was put in by, you know, Solo and Finn. Yeah. And so it's a cool comic. It's a cool, you know, I get all mine in trade paperbacks, just kind of let them get collected and go from there. But I'd recommend that. It's a fun little ride. But it's amazing with the effort and the money spent on her character and the actress they've got, you know, from Game of Thrones, Gwendolyn Christie. I don't know. Maybe they'll ultimately explain what happened, why this happened this way. But that is just, boy, to get those numbers from you, what a travesty.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
That little screen time, but you know, it is what it is, you know. And I think we, by the time this is all said and done, we're going to see a lot more of her being fleshed out in this series. You know, I felt the same way. I mean, for me, this reminds me a lot of Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, in the original trilogy, he wasn't fleshed out a lot yet. We knew who he was and from the first one, and we see him as a ghost in the second, and then of course Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and so forth, and then we get the prequels, and we Ewan McGregor playing him in the three, and we get him fleshed out a little bit more. Don't get a lot of him being fleshed out with his relationship with Anakin until the Clone Wars, when he was voiced by James Arnold Taylor. And it was the animated series, it was the Clone Wars that actually really changed my opinion of that character as a whole. And he's actually one of my favorite characters now. I think this having her focused on in this series like this can definitely sway public opinion of Phasma. So hopefully we'll see her a lot more fleshed out.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, so one more piece of news, which I almost missed, but I'm going to circle back to it real quick. When I was doing my research for these times, for everything being timed out, I came across on IMDb episode lists for Resistance, and of course all the ones that have already aired, and of course we know the three that were coming out the one that we're going to be reviewing tonight, Bebo, then of course next week's Dangerous Business, and the week after that the Doza Dilemma. So we know those three episodes, but IMDb actually has the names of the next four episodes after that through pretty much the month of February. So and those names are actually really interesting. I cannot wait to see how this plays out. February 3rd will be an episode entitled The First Order Occupation.
Nice.
The February 10th episode is called The New Trooper.
Okay.
February 17th, The Core Problem.
Okay.
And the episode, the last episode in February, February 24th, The Disappeared.
Nice.
So, no episode descriptions or anything like that yet, but we do have the names. So, very interesting. A lot we can speculate from there, but we're not a speculating type of show. But it's a lot to look forward to going through the rest of January and through February. We're going to have a lot of fun. It looks like we're going to get some awesome episodes coming.
This is awesome, man. We're what an episode so far. So much to cover. Oh my gosh. Well, we'll do it though. Resistance Reactions, we have you covered.
Absolutely, we do. So what we're going to go ahead and do is go ahead and take a quick break. Then we will be right back, and we will finally start our review of Bebo. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Aaron and David, and we are going to start our review of Bebo. This, of course, episode aired on January 13th there on the Disney Channel and on the Disney Now app. This was written by Paul Giacoppo. I hope I'm saying that right.
I think you are, buddy. Giacoppo.
This is actually the second episode of Resistance he wrote. He also wrote Children from Tehar as well.
So, yeah, and Bucket List. He's done both with Kel and Ayla. Yeah.
Exactly, which is why they would have shown up in this episode the way they did. He created a character. You're going to bring him back. So, great episode. A lot of fun in this episode. Basically what happens, Tora brings up an old headhunter, Z95 headhunter for Kaz for parts for the fireball. A creature comes out of it. Niku falls in love with it, makes it his pet, names it Bebo. It stinks to high heaven, eats everything it can, including tries to eat Bucket and the fireball and the chair Kaz tries to sit in. But tries to eat everything. Fortunately, things happen around the station. Kaz goes out with Sanara to go on a salvage run after Sanara gets a message from Kragan that the pilots that quote-unquote rescued her were resistance pilots. She can't recognize the people in the security footage that she has. She doesn't recognize them. Before she's interrupted by Kaz. And while they're out on the going on the salvage mission, this huge creature comes underneath them under the water and is heading toward the Colossus. Of course, they rush back to warn everybody. All panic ensues as this creature is basically attacking the Colossus. Basically, Tam determines that it is after Bebo, who Niku will not get rid of. Eventually, Niku realizes we have a mother looking for their daughter, or son or daughter, whatever Bebo is, and looking for it. And they wind up giving him back, saving the Colossus, not before a lot of action ensues. What are your opening thoughts on Bebo, David?
Yeah, the first thing I think about is the title is a new creature, and the whole episode supports my alien / creature corner. I've got so much to cover. It's an abundance of riches in this episode after the last one had no new creatures. So this one, I got so much to cover, but I thought that was so much fun with Bebo, the Spiegels. Obviously, Bebo's Arachnan. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And even our friendly neighborhood unnamed green alien is in this episode. He's been in quite a few episodes. So that's a whole lot of fun. So here's an episode that just, you know, completely is about new creatures. I really like the Sanara angle that you mentioned. She's still helping the pirates and Kraven Gore. It was interesting. The first time I watched the episode. I'm like, wait a minute, can she tell? And I'm looking, and I'm like, can you tell? I thought, you know, oh, she can tell that's who Poe is, but I could barely see Kaz, and it seemed like he had a Qualkian monkey lizard on his head or something. But the second time I watched it and listened, clearly she, like you said, she can't tell who they are. So that was a critical piece. Again, that I don't know. Maybe young kids will remember that episode. Obviously, here's the part, I think, for you and me, right, and adults, to keep us interested. So I love that angle. And then, of course, O.P. Pitt. Twice in this episode, the unofficial mascot of our podcast is in there. What a way to start the second half of the season. So already one of my favorite episodes if you're going to put O.P. Pitt in it. So there's just a few opening thoughts.
Oh, absolutely great opening thoughts, and this was a fun episode to come back from Christmas to. It was a lot of fun. We get to see a little bit more of Neeku after not seeing them pretty much at all in the last two episodes. But a lot of fun, a lot of new creatures, very interesting creatures, very, very interesting to say the least. A lot of people, I can hear a lot of people right now in my head saying this was just a great filler episode till we get to all the action. Not a filler episode, because there are consequences to what happened in this episode going forward. Sinara now knows that the Resistance is the one that saved her. Now, who are these Resistance pilots? Are they going to interfere with the pirate plans? And so on and so forth. So a lot of interesting things going on. We see that got the return of Kel and Ayla down below from Children of Tehar with the Shell people. A lot of interesting things that went on. So overall, it was a good episode. I did enjoy it. It was good. Got a few laughs out of it too. And you brought up a very interesting fact when you're talking about all the creatures in there. It is hard to go into this episode and discuss it and review it without doing your creature corner first. So let's go ahead and turn it over to you for David's alien corner and hear what you have to say about the aliens in Bebo.
Oh, definitely. Well, first and foremost, yeah, the title character, Bebo, is a baby Rachna. And of course, You see the mama. She comes up and she is just massive. So Bebo is going to grow into that. In fact, in Bucket's list, there's 9 this week. Interesting side note: it's the when you watch the video, they never go through all like 9, 10, or 11 little factoids. But in this one, Andy Gutierrez actually read them. All the previous ones, they just, in the video, it lists like 1, 2, 3, 4, but with no voice. So it was really neat to hear Andy Gutierrez jump in and do the voice there. But number 7 is called They Grow Up So Fast. And it says, every visual element in the adult Rachna was included in the baby Bebo design. It's just that his scaly plates and teeth have not fully developed and stuff like that. So cool to see this. This really reminded me of the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Dead Man's Chest, and we know that ILM did the visual effects on that. So I couldn't help but think about that quite a bit as I watched this. In previous episodes, I've asked people, you know, and I've seen them, you know, who are these fine birds? Throughout the episode. Well, they finally tell us in Bucket's list, they're called not seagulls but speegulls, and they have 4 yellow eyes, just like the Rachna has 4 eyes, because it does say in Bucket's list that all the more non-sentient species on Castellan have an extra set of eyes. So that's pretty cool to see the speegulls and the Rachna. Something else to think about is that the green alien guy with no mouth, they don't name him, but they do say he's a new alien. You'll see him in other episodes as well. But I thought it's kind of neat that he's fed by the tanks on his back and the tubes that come around to the front. So he's new. But again, they haven't named him. So what we have right now is really ultimately two new creatures named in this one. But again, we have a lot more to find out. Beast hasn't been named. Purple guy, we say, is Grimace, but they still haven't named him. The Antiques Dealer. In addition, you heard Aaron mention the mid-season trailer. When you see at the very beginning there's TIE fighters flowing in, there's another bird you see, and it's not these Speegles. I don't think it is. It looks different. So there's a lot more alien creatures to be discovered within this show. But right now, because we didn't have any new ones in Station Theta Black, we had left off with 29, all right, in the episode prior to Station Theta Black. But adding these two, we're at 31, but we still clearly have more than 31 creatures and species, but I think ultimately they'll ultimately name them. They're taking their time on some of these. Speegles they didn't name, and so on and so forth, but they ultimately will. So there you go. We're at 31 named creatures or species, and we have so many more to go.
Very cool. 31 creatures. That is awesome. They've been pretty busy here these first 11 episodes. So a lot of fun there. The Speegles, you know, all just watch out, they'll peck you in the coconut. if you don't know what I'm saying, if you don't know what I'm referring to, go to YouTube and search for Seagulls peck you in the coconut. Basically, somebody did a video with Yoda, and he's basically complaining about seagulls the whole song. It's a whole song. It is hilarious. So yeah, check that out when you get a chance. Great Creature Corner, David. That was a lot of great information there. Let's go right into our review here. You brought up Bebo. Very interesting creature. And he latched, as much as Niku latched onto him, he latched onto Niku. He really, really had a connection with Niku. And we get to see that throughout the episode. A couple times when he gets separated, he comes right back to him. At the end, when he's giving back to his mom, he tries to come back to Niku. He's made a connection with Niku and Niku with it. Which was fun to see. We got to see him make that kind of attachment. A little heartbreaking there at the end when he has to go away. But it was really, really nice. What did you think about the relationship between Niku and Bebo?
Well, I really enjoy it. You know, you and I were talking about development of characters, and we have, you know, tried to do that. And here, I mean, what a great thing for kids to see is Niku's love for a small animal, something that is smaller than him, something that doesn't smell good, and no one else seems to like. Kaz doesn't, Sonara doesn't, Tam doesn't, Bucket doesn't know what the heck's going on, and even Yeager comes in, and he's like, oh my gosh, and what does Yeager say? And somebody turn on a fan, you know, it stinks in here. So, but I love this. This again shows the type of character he is. Unconditional love, and in particular for a face that only a mother could love. So I thought it was really a neat thing for kids to see and for us to see what kind of person, what type of creature Niku is.
Oh, definitely a face only a mother could love. That definitely describes Bebo. They call him a little slimy slug, I think somebody did in this. Very, very, a lot of fun. Yeah, and you brought up Yeager coming in and finding it in a shop, and he's like, turn on a fan. We had an interesting look at Yeager in this, too. Yeager walks in, comes in, he's like, hey. He walks in, and first time he sees Bebo, he's like, oh man, he goes, you know, I only have a few simple rules, and Yeager's garage rule number 7 is no pets. I want to know what the rest of the rules are.
I was going to say, you know, I thought he'd say this is number 3, but no, it's number 7.
Number probably. 7. Yeah.
Yeah,
I want to know what the rest of the rules are. You know, like the rules of acquisition from Star Wars from Star Trek for the Ferengi. You know, I want a whole list of all of Yeager's rules. Maybe they can make them rules to live by. Make whole book. Yeager's garage rules. by Yeager.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun, and we got to see more into a different side of him too, because as he gets fed up with Bebo being there because of the mess that's being caused and the trouble that's being caused, he actually tells him to get rid of Bebo. He's got to go. He's out of here. And Niku's like, well, if he goes, I go. And it caught Yeager completely off guard. Like, well, wait, what? What? And of course, Bebo jumps out of his arms, runs away, and of course, Niku goes after him, and Tam goes after Niku. But yeah, he obviously was not willing to let Niku go, because he's then helping Niku find Bebo after that. How do you feel about Niku's relationship with Yeager?
Well, I think he obviously respects him. You made me think about a previous episode where Niku is willing to, well, talking about Creature Corner, we learned that Niku has, or Nikko's have more than one heart, apparently, because Niku was more than willing to give one of his hearts away. I don't know. It kind of looks at, maybe his connection to, maybe he knows that, Yeager's fine, but little things need that kind of help. I was surprised by that. I guess I'm struggling to know, what that means, that he was so willing to quickly quit working there. Maybe just some, impatience, some lack of maturity, and perhaps even, Yeager being a mentor to him, like we're wanting to see him be for Kaz.
Very true, very true. It's very interesting. I would like to know more we need to know more about Nico's background. I like the fact that right after this aired, we got a little bit of Nico's information through the Resistance Rewind episode, but it didn't give us a huge glimpse into his background. How did he get with Yeager? Why is he staying with Yeager when he could go home? And we know he wanted to get, according to the Resistance Rewind, he wanted to get away from home. He doesn't want to be from a family of Nerf herders. Not in the way that Han is referring to a Nerf herder, but he's from a family of Nerf herders, and he was the most intelligent of his group and of his village, and went off and went to better himself and wound up working in Yeager's garage. So I would like to know where their connection is, what made him stay there, and what just how their relationship began, honestly, in the long run. So it'd be interesting to see.
They'll do it just like they did in Rebels.
Oh, absolutely, they most certainly will. Yeah. Certainly will. Like we said, we had one particular scene in this episode which really will have lasting repercussions throughout the rest of this series. And honestly, I'm going to take that back. There are actually two that actually I think will have some repercussions going forward. One of them we mentioned in our opening remarks, of course, with Sonara and Kragan. Basically talking to Sonara, and she's like, and he's like, you got two Resistance pilots that rescued you. Do you recognize them? And we see that wacky security footage with the Kwaki and monkey lizards and Poe and everything. She doesn't recognize anybody. So obviously this is something that's going to play going forward, because Sonara is needing to know who these Resistance people are.
I agree. I love that you pointed that out, and you made sure listeners know that is critical.
Mm-hmm. The other piece of the puzzle, which I got a feeling is going to go into future episodes, is something that if you blinked, you would have missed it. Okay. In the latter half of the episode, when Mama Bebo is putting the whip on the Colossus,
right?
The Aces are out there flying around. They're trying to stop him. Nothing is working. Kaz winds up in the fireball, launched out, and he's trying to help the Aces. Okay. And there's one scene where it's just a few seconds. The fireball kind of pretty much buzzes the tower where Doza is. And Doza just kind of stands there, and he gets this look on his face like, And just staring. You can see him trying to he's trying to manage the fight, but at the same time, something about Kaz in the fireball flying by piqued his interest.
Right.
Kaz is already on his radar. We know that. He's keeping an eye on Kaz. He knows something's up with Kaz. He knows there's something more about Kaz. And his aggressive flying in this situation proved that he's a better pilot than a mechanic, and better pilot than he lets on. He saves Griff Halloran. Griff's ship gets damaged, and instead of crashing into the Colossus, he uses the fireball to change its course and gets it skipping across the water so he doesn't crash and die, which was pretty cool. Saw that, and I honestly didn't expect that to happen, but it was right after that he kind of buzzes that tower, and Doza's got that look, and I got a feeling that's going to come back to bite him on the rear end at some point going forward. It's giving Doza more information that toward it. Did you catch that particular scene?
I didn't, because I thought you were going somewhere else. And let me mention this. I see. I love that you brought that up. Doza watching Kaz there at the end, and of course Stephen Stanton is happy about Kaz saving Griff Halloran. So there's a little shout out to Stephen Stanton. I thought what you were just going to say there, because this, and I have this in my final thoughts, but I'll mention it right now, is, you know, they had the children of Tahar in there, and you know, Tam and Niku are talking to them down in engineering, and I just thought about something that, you know, they seem to be in tune with the birds leaving, with animals leaving, all this kind of stuff related to this big Rachna coming, underwater. And I just wonder about their role in future episodes. I could imagine them being a real key thing to help the Aces, to help Kaz, to help Eager, like in terms of sensing something. Now, I don't know if they're going to be force sensitive or not, but I thought you were going to mention that too. So there's another little thing that is incredibly subtle that we could see play out, you know, maybe later in this season and perhaps in season two.
We see that was in my notes next. Was Ayla's premonitions, Ayla's dreams about the incoming, the coming danger. And my note specifically says force sensitive with a question mark. Very interesting that she has these dreams. She is in tune with the danger that's coming. It's very. We're not a speculation podcast. We like the facts. We like what we know. We like the official stuff. Speculating is something, you know, you can get into dangerous waters and give people wrong ideas. We don't like to speculate, but man, this is something that just did pop into my head. Is could this girl be force sensitive? Could she be somebody that we see episode 9? We got the little kid, Broom Kid from The Last Jedi. Could this be another one of those situations where we have a force sensitive kid that doesn't know it's force sensitive?
That would be, again, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it would be very cool. So it'd be interesting to see where they go with them. It's nice to know they're still there on the Colossus, hanging out with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Right. So, or also known as the Shell People in the episode. But it was great seeing them again and seeing there. So there's something else that could possibly. There's three things there then at that point that could possibly impact future shows. We know Sonara's discovery of the Resistance is going to impact it. Doza, I'm sure, is going to have something to say to Kaz about about what happened in this episode.
Right.
And then the up in the air one is, of course, Ayla and her visions. So very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So where are my notes? There they are. Definitely, they were great to see them in this episode. Another cameo or guest that showed up in this, of course, was Jace Rucklin. Jace Rucklin is one of the people on the Colossus, of course, who is trying to get Nico to return Bebo to the creature before they realize it's his mother. They're like, it's hunting and he's hungry. Just give him Bebo so he'll leave us alone. And Nico's like, no, never going to give him up. Never going to give you up. Never going to take. Anyway, I don't know why that just popped into my head.
1980s reference. All right.
Wow. Yeah. So, Jace Rucklin, voiced by Frodo Baggins himself, was back in this episode. Now, I want to talk about the Aces, too. The Aces we get to see in full-fledged action. I mean, they get launched in defense of the Colossus. They are fighting this creature. We get to see a lot of their armaments, their lasers on the ship we knew they had. But apparently they're also armed with missiles. And Doza gives them permission. I guess they're within a certain range of the Colossus. They're not allowed to use it, but because of the imminent danger, they were given the green light to use it. So we got to see the type of armaments these ships have. We also found out that Hype is known as Ace One, which kind of, I guess, makes him the captain of the air wing at that point. But then it was great to see Freya in the mix there. Griff was in there blasting stuff up and ultimately crashing. And then, of course, Bo Keevil out there. Great group of pilots. It was fun seeing them in action. What did you think of the Aces in this episode?
Yeah, when I initially watched it, I'm watching them flying. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to get hit by a tentacle. And then you see them like kind of perfectly swoop through. And I'm like nervous. I'm like, you know, of course, the animation's gorgeous. It's beautiful. We've said it before. The colors, it's eye popping. And sometimes on a flat screen, it's like I wish I could be in a ship flying with them, and how they time it out to go in between all those tentacles, and that's fun to see. That's some really cool action. Nothing they had could do anything with those scales, though, on that Rachna. So my creatures win out in this one, right, buddy? My creature wins out. No, it's good to see them.
Well, it definitely went out in this episode because even Freya admits, you know, our weapons aren't doing anything. We need another plan.
Yes.
About the time, that was when Niku was telling Kaz that he was going to give him Bebo, and Kaz was trying to convince Hype to back off and cease fire. Which they wound up doing, and Niku saved the day.
Yeah, just hand the baby over, and you don't have to fire any more missiles. Yeah.
Exactly. And which they did. Niku hands over baby Bebo to Mama Bebo, and of course, Baby Bebo doesn't want to go. Bow, baby Bebo. Baby Bebo, baby. Baby Bebo Nico. Yeah, that's a tongue twister and a half right there. Baby Beep. Oh, gosh.
Well, people need to know we're recording this pretty late. we're people got to give us a little leeway today.
Baby Bebo. Baby Bebo doesn't want to leave, so he keeps trying to crawl back to Niku, and Niku picks him up, gives him a hug, and he's like, no, you must stay, little one, I love you, as he gets bye bye, as he gets pulled away. And then, of course, it all ends. Jaeger and Bucket come out, and the fireball flies over, and the episode ends. yeah, overall, I thought this was just a lot of fun. It was a good episode to come back on because we know we're about to get into some very, based on the mid-season trailer, we're about to get into a lot of heavy episodes going forward. So we needed a nice light episode. Coming back from the holidays to launch things off, lighten the mood a little bit before everything gets crazy dark. So great episode. I enjoyed it. It was good. Definitely a lot of highlights with Niku in there. Of course, Yeager. I loved seeing Bibu trying to eat Bucket as it's kind of got its little sucky mouth thing on Bucket's helmet, trying to get it in to eat it. Quite funny. Niku does have a great line in this where he basically tells Kaz that, you know, after Kaz is complaining about Bibo's smell, and he's like, you know, it's just his natural musk. And honestly, I can't say I like yours any better.
That is good. I knew that was coming. Now, you got to work Kaz over.
Oh, absolutely. And he said it so smooth without missing a beat, you know, and he didn't mean it with any malice. It was just, you know, hey, this is a fact. So it was good. I enjoyed it. What are your final thoughts on Bibo?
Well, definitely. I think for me, like you said, there's three, you know, pretty subtle points in there that I hope listeners, you know, to the show will be like, you know, this is part of the reason why we do listen, to pick up on some of these. And they probably did as well. And I think those are critical. Like you said, what is Sonara going to do with knowing that Resistance pilot saved her? Those are watching Kaz fly at the end. I love that you brought that up. And then, of course, you and I both were looking at some of the subtleties there with the children of Tihar, you know, Kel and Ayla. You know, I'd say another point, like you said, it was really neat to see the Aces in full-fledged action. That's what, you know, we really see. I mean, the Star Wars Resistance logo at the beginning of every episode has, you know, the fireball and, you know, flying. And so then, you know, the next thing is that I would definitely think about, what's the last thing? Oh, all the creatures. For me, this episode is just an abundance of riches. In fact, you know, one of the things I was going to mention real quick is Niku said he had a pet that is called a Mogol V, Moggolvee. So now there's another one that we might end up getting to see at some point. Maybe Niku has a picture of one in his room or something. But yeah, just abundance of riches. Plus we get OP Pit, and that's always exciting. But a lot in this. Yeah, enjoyed it thoroughly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Great episode. A lot of fun. When it comes to grading the episode, because we are back to grading episodes, I know if you listen to our recent special over about the shorts that aired over the mid-season break, we did not grade any of those. We saved that for the full episodes, but if I had to grade this episode, I mean, it was great. There were some things in there that will, like I said, those three items that which could have an impact on story going forward, but other than that, it was very good episode. I think they had more potential to, they could have built up some of the characters a little bit more in this. There's a little bit more potential for some Niku growth or Niku backstory in this, which they did not use, you know, take advantage of, but it was still good. I think overall I would give this one a B for a grade. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I was going back and forth between a B and a B minus. I think what brings it up to a B for me is obviously OP Pit. Come on. I mean, you can't. That automatically brings it up. And all the creatures. I love that. And then, of course, the subtleties we've mentioned. Those are the kind of things that bring it up. I think, you know, the story of the baby being looked for by its mother has been done a lot. But I think they use that common story, and that's where you and I kind of come in and say, hey, what are some of the other subtle underlying things? So I think, you know, it being a story we've seen many times in many different ways brings it down, but it's those other things that brings it up to a B versus maybe a B minus and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'd say a B overall.
Perfect. Excellent. Excellent. So with that, that ends our discussion of Bebo. We do have one email we want to get to real quick about Bebo. This, of course, is from Cameron Ramos over on Twitter. He says, "So glad to have Resistance and Resistance Reactions back. I really enjoyed the latest episode and how it helped develop Niku's character a little bit. He's so compassionate and loyal, and I think that it's important to build upon. I think that's important to build upon as we head toward the eventual threat of the First Order that is this season has been building on. He is always willing to help out his friends and those he cares about. I'm really glad this episode brought back Kel and Ayla. To remind the viewers that Ayla seems to be force sensitive. I would love to see her help Kaz in the Resistance by warning them of threats and disturbances in the Force as we head toward the events of The Force Awakens. I can't wait for the next episode." Well, thanks for writing in, Cameron. Definitely, I agree with you there. It was a good episode. It was great seeing Kel and Ayla. I think we've established we're a little curious about her Force sensitivity there.
Yeah,
but overall, great. It was a lot of fun. A lot of interesting things happened. So,
you know, Cam has a lot of good insights. You know, he's emailed in quite a bit, and he seems to be, you know, sometimes I think he's like, you know, he's got a Force sensitivity. He doesn't know what we're going to cover in these episodes, but a lot of times he's hitting it, you know?
Oh, he is. He definitely does. I wind up going to his email and reading it when we're recording, and I'm like, that's pretty much what we just discussed. He knows what we're discussing. I think he's got my office bugged.
That's right. I think so.
Just messing, Cameron. Definitely great insight, my friend, as always. If you want to let us know what you think, of course, there's a couple ways to do that. You can always go on social media to Facebook, just look for Resistance Reactions, or of course, Twitter at Resist Reactions, and you can send us a message through either one of those, with your thoughts and opinions on the episodes and on the show overall. And of course, you can also email us if you don't want to do social media. You can email us Rebels Reactions. That was the other show you'll find on this feed. If you go back far enough, you will find episodes of Rebels Reactions, which David and I hosted. But you can email us right now about Resistance at resistancereactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. So, and give us your thoughts on Resistance, the stories, the episodes, or anything about Resistance you want to let us know about or discuss, definitely send us your thoughts. David, if somebody wants to talk Star Wars with you, how would they go about doing that?
Oh, definitely. Sorry about interrupting you, buddy. No, two different ways. Very quickly, at Twitter, David_Modders, last name is MODDERS, and the email is dmodders@coffeewithkenobi.com. I was just going to mention there that Corporal Flux and Willard Tarkanis, we didn't get anything from them just because we told them, Aaron and I told them, that this was going to be a particularly long recording night, and we were not going to humor them and read anything from them. But they will return shortly. I'm sure of it.
And here I was hoping, and they were on Hosnian Prime.
Jeez, start the year.
Just kidding, guys. I'll never hear the end of that on the next episode. I guarantee that.
Sure.
All right. If you want to talk Star Wars with me, of course, right now, the best way to do that is through the Resistance Reaction Twitter feed at Resist Reactions, or of course, there on Facebook, Resistance Reactions. Definitely, I'm keeping track of those. That's actually the only social media I'm accessing right now. All my personal accounts are turned off for a little bit. I'm just taking a break through the beginning of the new year. I'll be back on my personal ones next month, but for now, enjoying the break and just managing the show accounts. So hit me up there if you want to, or of course you can email me aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. Every time I get to Coffee with Kenobi, I want to go into that Obi-Wan Kenobi voice.
I love that. Keep doing it. Don't stop.
I will try not to. Of course, make sure you are subscribing to our iTunes feed so you don't miss an episode. You can also go back and listen to all the old episodes as well, whether it's Resistance episodes or, of course, the Rebels Reactions episodes, where we covered every episode of Star Wars Rebels. And check out our sister shows as well. Make sure you check out Coffee with Kenobi, hosted by Dan Z, of course, for the latest in Star Wars news and analysis. And of course, the current episode, of course, is about the things coming in to start from Star Wars in 2019, so check that out. If you like comics, check out Comics with Kenobi with Matt and Jeff. Great show. They're the ones that got me into comics to begin with, just because I was listening to try to find out, keep up with the canon in the comics. So definitely check them out if you like comics, or if you don't like comics, listen in for the all the details on the canon that's being created in the comics, since it all interweaves. And by the end of it, I guarantee you, you'll be buying the comics just like I am.
I started buying them. Yep. You sucked me in.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. We got two other shows, of course, you want to check out. Of course, Legends Library. That show, of course, covers all of the Legends books, or also known as the Expanded Universe. Great job. Luke and Randy do a great job analyzing those books and checking those out. So definitely check them out. And, of course, Lattes with Leia is, of course, available with Amy and Andrea. Great episodes, great shows, a lot of great discussion, all from a fangirl perspective, which is so much better too. Love that show, and one of my highlights is I love hearing what they're drinking while they're recording too. What kind of beverage and coffee, or not necessarily a latte when they record it, but they always have a lot of fun, and I enjoy their episodes. So make sure you check out them along with our entire family of podcasts there at Coffee with Kenobi, and check out the website coffeewithkenobi.com as well. All right, Dave, thank you so much for joining me again for another episode of Resistance Reactions. Join us next time when we discuss Dangerous Business. So make sure you've watched the episode. Send us your thoughts after you do, and to be included in the episode. David, my friend, fun as always. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Resistance Reactions. Remember, this is the Resistance podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi, unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.